For this new session, let's go on a remarkable mind adventure to visit one of the stars of our heavens, a star indeed. To achieve this best, I want you to relax and lie down. Start by disconnecting or turning off your cell phone or any electronic device that might interrupt you. For the next half hour or so, you and your quality of mind is all that matters. You don't want to be disturbed as you discover new things about yourself and about the universe around you. When you are done, sprawl on a sofa or lie on the bed if you can. Lie on your back with your arms spread out beside you. If you can't do that, then find a comfortable chair that will let you relax and drop your head. Ready? Close your eyes. Good. Take a deep breath in and hold it for the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Now breathe out. Slowly. Take a deep breath in and hold it for the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Now breathe out. Slowly. Continue to breathe in and out. Slowly, slow and relaxed. Feel your arms and legs are heavy. Your head is heavy. Your whole body feels heavy, relaxed and heavy. You feel a little warm. Your breath is slow and relaxed. Your arms and legs are heavy. Now, go inside. Deeper inside, deeper into your own mind. Ready? Consider our sun. We can see it most days. It's a friend. It's always nearby. People sometimes worry they get too much of it. Others, the breatharians, think they don't need food and water. They can live by just gazing into the sun. But what relationship do we have, really, with our sun? Is it just something up there in the sky that's warm? What if it's more than that? What if the sun is conscious? Kids will often draw the sun with a smiley face. Do they know something we don't know? Well, I know something. The sun is the biggest collection of electrically charged particles anywhere in the nearby heavens. All these particles or ions are part of the same mass. We know that the brain is just a collection of charged particles that seem to think and be aware. We can be conscious without needing our brains, that's for sure. But our brains do influence the flow of perception and awareness. What would it be like to have a brain the size of the sun, or even just the size of the moon? That would give us godlike power for sure. But is such a wild idea even possible? In 1957, astronomer Fred Hoyle wrote an interesting science fiction story. It was called The Black Cloud. But was it fiction? In Hoyle's story, a large plasma cloud is sweeping towards Earth. It is so large that it will obscure the sun and kill off all life on our planet. It's not a malicious attack, just a twist of fate that puts us right in its path. The cloud is minding its own business, drawn through the universe by unimaginable vast forces that we cannot comprehend. But astronomers have to calculate when it will hit and decide what to do, if anything is possible. There seems to be no hope. But then a clever boffin, loosely modelled on Hoyle himself, some think, learns the cloud is conscious and can communicate. It's quite plausible, Hoyle's character explains. The cloud is a mass of charged particles that is billions, trillions, squillions of times vaster than our puny human brains. The scientist decides to try and connect with this monster being or living entity and talk to it, learn what it knows. But will he be blown to smithereens by the vast input of data he would have to absorb from such an overwhelmingly large brain? Well, I won't spoil the story, in case you want to read it. The point is that Hoyle, as an astronomer, told this story in hard scientific language, meaning his facts were real scientific facts. The setting was the real universe, not some fantasy kingdom of wizards and goblins. It was the best of our science to be able to reason that this cloud object was possibly manifesting a form of super consciousness. So why not our sun? It has all the elements needed to be a super consciousness. Rupert Sheldrake believes this is an interesting and worthwhile debate. After all, for thousands of years of human life, the sun has always been regarded as conscious. It's actually been considered a god, Ra in Egyptian law, Tonatio to the Aztecs, and Helios to the Greeks. In Celtic mythology, Etan is female, in other words, a goddess. There is a traditional philosophy that says all the universe is alive. Trees, rocks, plants, stars, the oceans. It's a view called animism. Animus meaning life or soul. It was only with the gate crashing of material science that this view was swept from center stage and replaced with vaunted but totally unprovable theories that claimed everything is just stuff, matter. The world is just a machine and we are, at best, a ghost in the machine. So the sun just became a celestial object, a body, a thing. But what if it is, in some sense, alive? Shall we journey towards it and ask? That could be an interesting experience. Let's do it. Double down and relax even more. Breathe slowly and gently. Put your attention firmly inside your own mind, not on your surroundings. Breathe slowly, in and out. Relax. Now, feel yourself start to rise up, and feel yourself above the building in which you are sitting or lying. Go up to a few hundred feet and stop just to get your bearings. It feels different. When you are comfortable not seeing things through the eyes of your body, start to rise again. Slowly at first, then faster and faster. Rise up into the sky until you are aware of the earth as a ball with a curved surface. If it is daylight where you are, you'll already be aware of the sun. If it's after dark, let yourself know and feel that the sun is just the other side of our planet beneath you. Let yourself begin to orbit the earth. It doesn't really matter which way you go. Sooner or later, you'll emerge into blazing sunlight. Wow, this is awesome and deeply moving, I think. Okay, let's keep traveling. Now find yourself gliding towards the sun. Slowly at first, and then faster and faster and faster. But be aware of every mile, no matter how swiftly it flashes by. It's 93 million miles to our sun, so it will be some time before you get the sense of it coming closer and closer. But eventually the sun begins to enlarge and gradually fills more and more of your field of view. Look to the side and you'll see the rest of the sky is black. There are stars, yet the sun is so bright and clear. That's because there is no atmosphere out here, nothing to scatter the sun's light. It's a totally different appearance to that from Earth. Don't worry about the heat. You are here as a disembodied spirit entity. You cannot singe or fry a mind. You didn't bring your body, so everything's safe. Let's stop before the sun fills your entire field of view. After all, we want to behold it all at once, not just portions of it. Feel the solar wind. It's like a breeze of particles streaming from the sun in all directions. It's radiation and could fry a whole planet in seconds if one were to come as close as we are. Some of these particles are streaming to Earth and through the Earth. Some of these particles are streaming to Earth and through Earth. Some particles are streaming through your body back on Earth right now. The sun's rhythms are complex, way beyond our interpretation or understanding, but feel its presence. And there are giant flares leaping up from the surface a long way, actually millions of miles long. But you can't get a sense of size from here. Our sun is vast. 1.3 million Earths could fit inside it. That's just staggering. Our sun is a self-organizing system manifesting a highly complex pattern of electromagnetic activity. These patterns are taken to be signs of consciousness in our human brains. Well, the sun has much more complex electromagnetic activity than our brains, and I mean vast orders of magnitude more. Despite all the talk about neurotransmitters, the electrical activity of the brain is really the measure of its function, not the total number of chemicals and atoms. If the sun is indeed conscious, there's one important question. Does it make decisions? Well, if it's conscious, why wouldn't it? It may decide when and where to send out solar storms, as they are called, or mass ejections, and whether or not to affect life on Earth. Be sure the sun knows you are there. It is aware according to our delightful model. Now notice there are vibrant rhythms here, pulses, throbbing, swirls, It feels like the sun is alive, just as you would feel the vibrant energies swimming next to a great whale or in the midst of a giant herd of wildebeest. Look at those famous sunspots, the dark marks scattered there across the surface. Some we can see from Earth, they're so vast. Others are smaller, like the ones we are looking at. But all sunspots have one thing in common. They are dark. They look black against the sun's brilliant surface. That means sunspots are cooler than the rest of the sun. It shouldn't be so. There's something wrong with current physics. Sunspots let us look deeper inside the sun, which should be hotter, but it's not. The sun's surface is far hotter than its core. In fact, the hottest level of all is quite a distance above the sun's surface. The highest level of the sun's atmosphere has a temperature of millions of degrees, whereas the surface is closer to 6,000 degrees. These are Celsius. This simple observation tells us that the sun's heat is coming from somewhere outside the sun itself. In case you don't know the answer, it's from the massive electromagnetic fields that are swirling through the cosmos. The sun is sucking up vast energies from the universe, like light and heat for breakfast. No wonder he burps once in a while, and that sends out solar storms. Now, another question. Obviously, if the sun is conscious, then stars are conscious too. The sun is just a star like any other. Our sun might also be in communication with other stars. We've no way of knowing, so there's no reason to dismiss the idea. Rather, it's more fun to think of our sun chatting with its fellows. What would star talk be like? Try to just know how stars and suns would communicate with each other. See what you come up with. And if the stars are conscious, what about the galaxy? There are hundreds of billions of stars in an average galaxy. The combined interaction of these could maybe produce a supergiant consciousness that beggars comprehension. Maybe the center of a galaxy is just a kind of galactic brain. And if individual galaxies can have minds, then what about the whole cosmos? This is not a new idea. The Greek Plotinus talked of the world's soul. If you believe that, then you are a pantheist. That means God in everything. God is immanent. The sun being conscious only makes sense in the context of everything else in the universe being conscious. The modern expression for this is panpsychism, meaning consciousness everywhere. All these things are possible. So says honest and competent science, not the mind-shriveling, blundering limitation that passes for today's science. Electrons may have minds. Atoms may have minds. Objects and animals, even stones, have minds. Planets have minds. So does the sun. The whole of creation has an all-embracing mind. In fact, that's probably a better concept of God than an invisible man in the sky. Let us then just suppose that there are many levels of mind and consciousness beyond that of everyday human thought. There are advanced conscious entities, like angels and guides, super beings at various levels of power and skill. It's accepted in all major religions, among the adepts and mystics. There's nothing in any tradition that says only humans are conscious, there is nothing else. Yet here are pompous scientists with minds no bigger than a tiny firecracker compared to an atom bomb, telling us there's nothing out there, it's all an illusion. Isn't it like a snowflake telling us there's no such thing as water? I think so. I'll leave you alone with our sun now for a few moments. See if the sun has a message for you. Just be willing for the communication to happen. Remember, the sun can only communicate telepathically, not through light and sounds. Its thoughts will come to you as words anyway. Well, did you get a response? If so, write and tell me about it. I'd love to know what you experienced when out here in mystical space. I'd now like to draw your attention to something I consider marvelous. In ancient Egypt, in the reign of Akhenaten, he was the father of Tutankhamun, the sun was worshipped as a god, Ra. If you look at the carvings and depictions in ancient tombs and on buildings, the sun is shown with rays spreading outwards and with tiny little hands at the end of each ray. It's very cute. Also, this is a very powerful idea. The sun reaching out. It can touch us and stroke us, soothe our pains. It's always there as a helping hand. Isn't that what we say? It's an inspiring thought. And of course it puts the sun right up there as a comforting, healing force. Think of Wilfred Owen's powerful war poem about trying to wake a dead soldier by exposing him to the sun's warmth. Move him into the sun. Its actual title is Futility. I'll read some of it to you in a moment. Before we go home, just a thought. The light here, close to the sun, is so bright you couldn't be here with a body and look at the sun. If the breatharians are right, you're going to be superdosed with years of food supply. What you'll be aware of is having amazing new levels of energy and being that should sustain you through days to come. When you feel low or lacking in zest, come to this meditation again and recharge yourself with our sun's staggering energies. Now here's a funny thing to take home, one last surprise. You affect the sun just as the sun affects you. Okay, only a tiny infinitesimal amount, but it's not zero. We actually radiate energy too. In fact, someone calculated that we have higher energies than the sun when you take into account our tiny size compared to it. Ounce for ounce, we outperform our sun. Well, what does that say about the magnificence of humankind? Okay, let's go home. Start to let the sun recede. Gently at first, then faster and faster. Soon you'll be home on Earth, relaxed, back in the body you left behind for this mystical mind walk. Now, I promised you a poem. I'll read just part of it. It's by Wilfred Owen, a young lieutenant who was tragically killed only a week before the end of World War I. move him into the sun. Gently, its touch awoke him once, at home, whispering of fields half sown. Always it woke him, even in France, until this morning and this snow. If anything might rouse him now, the kind old sun will know.